had to go to work today, and you have absolutely no reason to be.
I mean, my heart doesn't work, so there's
No more excuses. You used them all up. I don't believe you anymore.
It's like this happens every day, Ashlyn. God.
Oh, it's so inconvenient. You're so selfish. How dare you be sick? What about me? What about my problems?
Hi, and welcome back to I'll Tell You What, a Spoopy Podcast. I'm Ashlyn.
And I'm Miranda, and that was very aggressive for some reason.
I'm struggling to think of words right now.
I know. It was
it's a good thing I have notes written down.
It was very, like, pointed, almost. That's
more like I was aggressively trying to remember what words to say.
I know, but, like, how you said it, like, it was, like, the essence that it had. It scared me a little.
Miranda's always a little more aggressive than me, jeez.
Right. Yes. I would know what aggressive sounds like.
She would. All right, hang on. Let me get this to auto-rotate so I can actually read the sentences.
Because we no longer have the iPad with us because it had to get sending it fixed.
So Miranda's morning an iPad.
What?
I was trying to figure out how to segue that into rate and review and I couldn't do it.
But if you have your iPad, you could take it and or whatever phone or device you use, you could take it on over to your favorite podcasting apps and rate and review. Only do that if you like the show.
We really enjoy it when you guys interact with us as well. We always get a kick out of it, and it puts a little smile on our faces.
Tomorrow is Valentine's Day. When you're listening to this, however, it will no longer be Valentine's Day.
And you know what? I was trying to find a conspiracy theory or a cult or something that had to do with Valentine's Day. I almost did the history of Valentine's Day, but then I figured that would probably serve. We could save that for another time where it, and that's kind of more your realm of weird anyway.
Oops.
And so when trying to find a topic, I decided to go a little bit lighter than, you know, my whole Scientology thing, mainly because that took a while.
Unfortunately, mine was supposed to be mysterious and ended up being kind of sad, so.
Oh, mine's actually not really sad.
Oh, thank God. Well, no, it's just, why don't we get to that?
She's going to hate me for this.
It's already
so, Miranda, I'll tell you what.
What?
I'll tell you about the conspiracy behind Disney's Frozen head.
Oh, right. I got really confused because I was like, okay, Frozen the movie. And then you said head. And I was like, what does that have to do with the Frozen movie? And then I remembered what.
So I wasn't going to do it after the deaths at Disneyland thing. Like, I that was a joke. And
you said that?
I came across. Yeah, but I came across something that made it too good to pass up. And we'll get into that later. So I felt it was also really appropriate because of how cold it is.
Oh my gosh. Today, like this year, yes, is the coldest it has ever been on February 13th in Missouri, in Kansas City.
Yeah, I don't do the cold. No. But so I felt like this, you know, kind of went along with that. And this actually might have been the first conspiracy that really passed around seriously amongst my schoolyard friends when I was younger, you know, back in the day.
Okay. Schoolyard. What? Are you trying to make it sound like you were like an orphan in the 1800s or something? Schoolyard.
So
just trying to make yourself sound even older.
So the theory goes that after Walt Disney died, his body, or in a more popular version, the one I heard, his head, was cryonically frozen and is awaiting the development of technology that can reanimate him.
I thought it was cryogenically.
It's actually cryonically. I looked up the distinction.
Cryogenically, well, I was is lied like the to study by science of fiction.
Yeah. It is said that the body is stored beneath the Pirates of the Caribbean ride at Disneyland.
Oh, of course.
The ride. Why? Well, the ride only opened a few months after Disney's death.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah, well, it's also kind of sad when you think about how Walt Disney World had been, like, they'd picked out the land and everything, but hadn't actually started on it when Disney had died. And so he'd been planning for, like, Epcot and everything, and he never got to see it.
Yeah. Well, unless.
So, a brief history of Walt Disney, because Ashlyn needs to get some use out of her film degree.
As a young lad growing up in Kansas City, Missouri.
No. Walter Elias Disney was born on December 5th, 1901 in Chicago, Illinois.
Yeah.
He was raised on a farm.
Get to the good part. I'm just kidding.
I will. I know you're waiting for Kansas City. Calm down. He was raised on a farm near Marceline, Missouri, where he lived with his mom, dad, three brothers, and one sister. And Marceline is about 2 hours away from here. Okay? So he's not in Kansas City yet. Calm down.
Never even heard.
It's a small town.
I feel bad.
So he actually started selling sketches to neighbors by the time he was 7 years old.
I don't know why I thought you were going to say something else instead of sketches.
He moved to Kansas City, Missouri when he was nine. He attended Benton Elementary School and took Saturday classes at the Casey Art Institute.
Oh.
And he attended McKinley High School in Chicago and was part of the school paper, which he did drawings and photography for.
Oh, nice.
There, he also took night classes at the Academy for Fine Arts.
Wow.
He tried to enlist in the military at age 16, but was rejected for his age. So he volunteered with the Red Cross and went overseas to be an ambulance driver. And he also chauffeured some people around. Reportedly, this ambulance was completely decked out in cartoons. Which, apropos. So after World War I ended, he returned to Kansas City, where he started working as an advertising artist. Advertising cartoonist, actually.
Yee.
In 1920, he helped found Laugh-O-Gram Studios alongside Ub Iwerks in Kansas City, Missouri.
Woo!
Now, Ub was actually, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right, it's UB. That's his name.
Oob?
I don't know. So, Ub or Oob was actually one of Walt Disney's mentors.
Yeah.
In all of this. So, they produced Laugh-O-Gram animated shorts for local movie theaters.
Woo!
However, the business would go bankrupt by 1923.
No.
Upon the bankruptcy, he moved to Hollywood, where his brother Roy already was.
They pooled
their resources to start the Disney Brothers Cartoon Studio, which would later become the Walt Disney Company.
Wow.
They were able to find a distributor in New York for their Alice comedies, and these were short films that featured a live-action little girl named Alice going on adventures with her animated cat Julius in an animated world.
I remember that from the the movie about him.
Which one? The Walt Before Mickey thing?
I saw Walt Before Mickey and the other one.
I still haven't seen Walt Before Mickey and I like really need to.
But I remember from one of the Walt Disney movie things.
I've written research papers over Disney, like multiple research papers.
Uh-huh.
And I don't watch a lot of biographies about him, apparently.
Well, neither of them are really biographies. They're movies about, they're a reenactment type thing, yeah.
Or a biopic.
Biopic.
These Alice comedies became incredibly popular and allowed the company to grow, like, a lot. Eventually, most of those who had worked for Walt in Kansas City as cartoonists moved to California to work for the
Disney
Brothers Company.
That's nice that he, like, brought them out and stuff and was like, hey, come work for me out here.
So now we're coming to Oswald the Lucky Rabbit, and I wanted to actually bring this part up, mainly because this is part of the reason why Disney as a company is so, they have like such a stronghold on their characters and like your ability to use them.
Yeah.
And it's because of what happened with Oswald the Lucky Rabbit.
Yeah. I think I remember this from the movie too.
Yeah, it was definitely in Walt Before Mickey. So in 1927, Disney developed a character to sell to Universal Studios.
Yeah.
Universal wanted to get into the cartoon business. He developed Oswald the Lucky Rabbit. And most of the animated animals at this time, such as Felix the Cat, really just acted like vehicles for gags.
Yeah.
But Walt wanted to go a different direction.
Mm-hmm.
So he studied physical comedy routines, wherein the comedy was derived in part from the character's personality, such as with Buster Keaton and Charlie Chaplin.
Yeah.
And he wanted to give like that kind of
film star.
And so he wanted to give such a personality to Oswald. Disney also utilized his knowledge of live-action filmmaking with these cartoons, emulating camera angles and effects in the animated shorts, which was something that wasn't really seen at the time.
Mm-hmm.
The Oswald shorts allowed the company to not only grow but thrive, and Universal had a hit on their hands. But due to contract and economic issues, wherein Disney would have had to take a 20% cut despite Oswald's success, Disney opted to not renew his contract and quit working on the Oswald cartoons in 1927.
He's like, excuse you? I am worth more than that. You know who I am. Do you know who I'm gonna be?
No one knew who he was
gonna be. I'm gonna be the biggest thing you've ever seen.
Disney didn't even know who he was gonna be at that time. Through this, he learned the importance of retaining rights to characters.
Yee yee.
So after this, he goes and creates his own character, you know, a better character with big round ears and a tail.
But his name is not Mickey Mouse.
No, it's Mickey Mouse.
Oh, it's Mickey Mouse. I thought it was Steamboat Willie. Or is Mickey Mouse playing Steamboat Willie?
Mickey Mouse was in Steamboat Willie.
I thought he was Steamboat Willie.
No.
Oh, is the steamboat named Willie?
I think so.
Have I been confused this whole time?
So, he went on to create Mickey Mouse, who debuted in the spring of 1928 with Steamboat Willie. Steamboat Willie was actually the world's first sound-synchronized cartoon as well.
Yeah, originally,
Mickey's first appearance was supposed to be in something called Plane Crazy with planes, but like right before it was supposed to, you know, be released, like synchronized sound started coming out.
Yeah.
And so he's like, wait a minute, I want this in my film. Yeah. And so it became the first animated
cartoon.
He's
like...
So reportedly, Mickey was in part inspired by a pet mouse Walt kept in his drawer in his office in Kansas City.
That's also in the movie. I'm just going to keep saying
I didn't watch this movie. Darn it, Miranda. Ugh, you study something for 4 years. And your sister catches it in like two-hour movie.
That I barely watch, I'm going to be honest.
Shut up.
I'm not a huge fan of biopics, actually.
So, Walt would go on to revolutionize the entertainment industry.
Wow.
Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs in 1937.
I've never heard of that.
I'm going to end you, child.
I'm just kidding. A gadget. No, I didn't.
Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs in 1937 became the first traditionally animated feature film musical in history.
Wow.
So before Snow White, and the reason I'm going into this is partially to illustrate how forward-thinking Walt was.
And also because she likes Snow White.
Also because I wrote a research paper of this specifically.
You know how pretentious you sound sometimes? She's like,
I was a film major. You don't get more pretentious.
I was a film major. I did my thesis over Gravity Falls.
I wrote a paper over Gravity Falls. I didn't do it. Thesis, thank you.
She did her thesis of a Gravity Falls.
I wrote a research paper over it. And I wrote a research paper over Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs anyway. Two separate
classes.
And this
is why she had no friends. I'm kidding, she had lots
You're
of
dating
friends.
One of my friends.
What? I had no idea you knew each other.
This is taking a turn. But no, honestly, as far as majors go, you don't really get more pretentious than film and psychology.
I literally think we shared like the most pretentious majors yeah, you could possibly have.
See, the thing is, so the way that I treated being a film major was just like, okay, what is the most ridiculous thing that I can write my papers over and force my professor to actually take seriously?
You're the worst. I like that though.
I just. Cartoons 90% of the time.
Did you get good grades?
Yes, I did.
Let's see, there you go. Honestly, your professor probably thought it was like a breath of fresh air from all the pretentious kids
not.
in your class. They're probably writing things like Into the Wild or something, and he was like, oh my gosh, if I read another paper about Into the Wild, I'm gonna...
Into the Wild was based off of an Emory student.
I know. It's part of the reason I said it.
I hate you. So much.
I can't not look at you and not think of that, okay?
Forget it, we're gone.
Back to Steamboat Willie.
Snow White and the Seven Dwarves, actually.
Oh, sorry. Back to Snow White and the Seven Dwarves. At least you remembered where we are.
All right. So before Snow White, characters typically had a more cartoonish look and movement.
What?
Like, you know, Betty Boop.
Cartoons had a cartoonish look. Oh, my God.
Animated shorts had more cartoonish look.
Because they're cartoons! I know.
I'm trying to get into like actual techniques.
They had a very specific type. I understand. They're the creepy black and white ones.
Well, if you've seen Betty Boop, you understand like the unrealistic movements. Because they didn't move like normal people.
Not super fluid.
They were like rubbery.
Yeah.
Kind of. Whereas Snow White actually moved like...
A person, yeah.
And Walt had his company working on developing the techniques to mm-hmm. create a more realistic and traditional look.
Well, I know with several
shorts that preceded mm-hmm. Snow White, but they finally actually got it down with Snow yeah. White.
Well, I know for a fact with Snow White, like a lot of the earlier princesses, Snow White, Sleeping Beauty, Cinderella, and even Little Mermaid, they had a live action model come in mm-hmm. and do a lot of the dancing around and a lot of the singing motions mm-hmm. and stuff to see how a real woman or a real girl would do that. And they brought in a gymnast, actually, for Little Mermaid. But that's a completely different story because she would have, like, the flexibility and stuff of a mermaid.
Well, and something I always found interesting with Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs is that for doing the actual application of, like, what the face would look like,
mm-hmm.
he had, like, women working on these cells. And, like, he'd look over and they'd be, like, actually applying blush, real blush to her look because they're like, no, this is where it would go when I'm doing my face. Like,
yeah. No, I think it's really cool because, I mean, it had to start somewhere, you know?
The thing is that Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs in particular went well over budget, like well over budget. And Disney always felt nervous when he had to go in to ask for more money from the bank.
Yeah.
So he brought in, you know, what he had done of the film and showed it. And the bank was like,
take our money.
Basically, they were like, this is amazing. What are you talking about? And there's one film critic that I always appreciated his writings about Disney.
He was in love with Disney.
Oh, he absolutely was. Sergei Eisenstein. If you ever read Sergei Eisenstein paper over Disney,
it's probably like he was a genius and oh so handsome too.
Basically.
We love it. I love it.
He was in such awe of Disney's creativity and what he was doing for the medium.
Mm-hmm.
It was phenomenal. And reading his stuff always put a smile on my face. It really did. So the innovation was heralded as genius by both film critics as well as investors.
I think you mean heralded.
So the creation of Disneyland in 1955 was the first modern day theme park as we know it. And with the creation of the parks, Disney sought to develop new technologies, in particular audio animatronics and the like. He wanted guests to be immersed in a world with the characters.
Mm-hmm.
Main Street USA actually was intentionally modeled after the small town streets of Marceline, Missouri. Part of Disney's goal with Disneyland was to create a world that blended, quote, the nostalgia of the past with exciting glimpses of the future.
And that now was their whole thing is magic.
And their whole thing is money. Well, I don't have a lot of respect for Bob Iger and what he did with the Disney brand.
Yeah. We like Walt Disney. We don't like other people.
I mean, Michael Eisner was an okay CEO. He definitely was a bit more corporate than Disney.
I don't actually know who runs Disneyland or Disney. I assume it's just Walt Disney. Just Walt Disney's ghost.
Or his chronically frozen head. Anyway, getting back on topic.
Segway.
So Walt eventually died of lung cancer on December 15th, 1966.
Wow. What a turn. I didn't know he died from lung cancer. That's really sad. He did smoke, though.
Yeah, he smoked a lot.
Oh, that's why in Saving Mr. Banks.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Yeah. She's like, my wife says these will kill me.
Yeah.
And then they did. Oh, no.
I'm sorry. I'm not laughing at the fact that he died of lung cancer. I'm laughing at Marina's face.
I was so upset.
So he was 65 years old at the time.
Yeah, I knew he wasn't old.
So the facts of all of this.
Okay.
The facts surrounding his death.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And the burial and everything.
Okay.
That reportedly happened. This is their official story.
Oh, okay.
So officially,
according to the
Disney's
press.
Funeral was held the day after his death. And on December 17th, 1966, he was cremated and interred at Forest Lawn Memorial Park Cemetery in Glendale, California. Hmm. So yes, keep in mind, he died the 15th. His funeral was the 16th.
I know, that's
he
very
was cremated
fast.
On the 17th.
That, yes. He had a plan.
In fact, some people find this timeline suspiciously short. And the arrangements quiet for such an influential man.
He probably had this, like, planned for a
They believe
time.
That Disney really died a few days before it was brought to public attention, which gave them time to cryonically freeze him and get him all squared away before people became the wiser.
Uh-huh.
Disney's daughter, Diane Miller, however, wrote in a biography that it is likely her father had never even heard of cryonics. So how did the rumor about cryonics start? Mm-hmm. Walt Disney was known to be a man who looked to the future not only with entertainment, but with science as well.
Yes.
That was kind of the point behind Epcot, which was in development before he died.
Yes,
Epcot stands for Experimental Prototype Community of Tomorrow.
Did you know Epcot was actually supposed to be a giant spaceship to the moon that Walt Disney climbed inside? And mm-hmm. he actually was like, you know, in like Doctor Who or Beauty and the Beast, when yes. when they go flying in the air and their, you know, light spouts from all of their mm-hmm. their limbs.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, he would go up in the middle of the Epcot ball. Mm-hmm. Dang it, I was holding it together. So
I was just waiting for to see where you went with it.
He goes into the middle of the Epcot ball, mm-hmm. and then he does the shiny light thing, mm-hmm. and then they fly up to the moon, and that's where he lives forever. But it didn't happen.
Are you sure it didn't happen?
Well, it hasn't happened yet.
Anyway, enough of Miranda's conspiracies.
I almost got through it without laughing.
Walt was also incredibly wealthy at the time of his death.
What?
His net worth at the time is estimated to have been about $150 million, which would be about $1.2 billion today.
That's a lot of money.
I know. And yet still not the most out of the billionaires richest. Today. There's a problem. Anyway, the first official body to be preserved using cryonics was of a psychologist, Dr. James Bedford, on January 12, 1967, less than a month after Disney's death. It would not be out of the range of possibility, then, that Disney had heard about or looked into cryonics.
Mm-hmm.
This idea was latched onto by two separate biographers, Leonard Mosley and Mark Elliott. They each wrote a biography on Disney wherein they stated that he had an obsession with death that led to him looking into cryonics. There does not seem to be any evidence supporting this statement, however, and these comments have been dismissed by most to be wildly unfounded. Yeah.
But not entirely 100% untrue.
So cryonics as a science is still developing. Yeah. Some believe it to be more of a pseudoscience.
Yeah.
And what is known about the process is that it can be started within minutes of death and uses cryoprotectants to prevent ice formation during the preservation of the corpse.
Mm-hmm.
There is concern that this process damages the brain and its neural networks because there's no blood going to them.
Yeah.
But cryonicists argue that as long as there is no physical damage to the brain, then recovering the mind is possible.
They've done it on Grey's Anatomy a few times now.
We're not going into Grey's Anatomy and their neuroscience crap. I'm still personally offended by Grey's Anatomy sometimes, okay? All
it's
right.
It's a great show, and Josh will tell you that.
So, although they argue that recovering the mind is possible, there is no current way to wake up anyone who undergoes cryonics to test this.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so it's kind of just like a theory that they have, but they can't prove it.
So there are frozen people out there that we just don't know how to wake them up.
Yes.
Wonderful.
The idea is that technology will develop in the future, perhaps nanotechnology, that will enable these corpses to be reanimated and even heal what caused their death.
Mm-hmm.
Currently, about 250 people in the U.S. have been cryonically frozen.
That's a lot of people.
The process is very expensive, and it is unlikely that the companies that provide these services will survive long enough for the technology to reanimate the people they store to be developed.
What will happen to them?
They just dead permanent then, despite paying that much money. Yes. However, the Walt Disney Company is loaded.
That's true.
And if the head is being stored in the tunnels underneath Disneyland, then who's to say how long it could remain frozen? All right, so the Walt Disney Company denies that there is a frozen yes, head anywhere, of course.
As they would, because that's just not very family-friendly fun.
And to be fair, there are signed legal documents for Walt's cremation and interment at Forest Lawn Memorial
you know
Park
how
Cemetery.
Easily those are forged.
I mean, they did have
falsified.
A lot of money. They did have a lot of money.
They probably own the cremation place.
Well, it has also been suggested by the company that the rumor was started by disgruntled employees. Walt had been known to be a bit of a taskmaster at times, and there had even been a labor strike in 1941 demanding fair wages and job security.
Oof.
Walt had taken this strike very personally.
Well, I mean, Maybe give people fair wages. And
yes, but is using that as evidence that this is just a rumor, is that all a cover? So a conspiracy compounded. Since the 1990s, a Disney retelling of The Snow Queen had been in the works. The project fell into development hell and was resurrected in 2008 with the working title Anna and the Snow Queen. Josh Gad reportedly became involved at this stage in the development.
Hey.
The storyline wasn't quite working with the Snow Queen character, however, so it slid back into development hell. In 2010, Disney's retelling of Rapunzel was released. In an effort to appeal to a wider audience, not just princess fans, Disney opted to go for the title Tangled.
Yeah.
After the success of this film, the Snow Queen project was once again resurrected under the title Frozen. This movie became wildly successful and surpassed all other animated films in the box office until Frozen 2 came out, despite it not being intrinsically any different from any other Disney movie.
That, and if you actually watch it and pick it apart more than once.
The storyline's a mess.
Yeah, if you watch it more than once. Like, the first time we watched it, I'm going to be honest, we were both like, wow.
Honestly.
And the big reveal, and we were like, wow.
I wanted it to be a sister adventure.
But the big reveal was like, oh my gosh, he's the villain. But after you find that out, what's the point of watching it again?
Well, you know? Yeah.
And then it
didn't make any sense for Hans to be the villain.
That's besides the point. But then you do watch it again. You give it a second chance. You watch it again. And you're like, I already know what happens. And you actually watch it this time.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, this doesn't make any sense.
Oh, yeah. First of all, the confusing powers. And this was, you know, before Frozen 2, so there was no backstory for that either.
Frozen 2 is actually fantastic.
Oh, I know.
It actually does help a lot of the plot holes.
Well, and from what I was reading, basically they wrote Let It Go and then developed the story around that.
Lovely.
And that's why
I hate that song so much. I hate it so much. It was so overplayed when it came out.
Like, it's an okay song, but I wouldn't even say it's the best one on the soundtrack.
It wasn't even my favorite song from the soundtrack. It wasn't.
But Disney pushed Let It Go.
And then Idina Menzel ruined her voice, singing it live on New Year's Eve especially. That was the most atrocious thing I've ever heard. Sorry.
I hadn't heard it.
Oh, it's bad.
But Disney seemed to push the Let It Go.
They really did.
Song quite a lot.
Oh, they really did.
It was very odd. So Screen Rant posited their own theory and brought up a few major points.
Yeah.
One, the movie could have been called many other things.
Mm-hmm, like The Snow Queen.
The Snow Queen, Snow Sisters, Snow, Ice.
Icy.
I don't know.
Icy hat.
I've been watching way too much.
They really set me up to think that Anna was going to have, like, autumn powers or something.
I know. That
twice!
Cool.
They set me up twice!
I know!
I honestly thought the second movie was like, Anna's going to get her powers. My gosh!
There was a fan theory, too, that Anna had, like, super strength because, like, every time she shoved someone in the in Frozen, it was, like, such a large movement.
No, but like, I was so prepared for Anna to finally get her powers, and then she didn't.
So, yes, the movie could have been called, that would have been actually really cool.
And a villain sister, like, turned villain.
Redemption. That would have been amazing. And that's really what I wanted it. I know, I've thought about it so many times.
We're going to make our own version.
And that's really where it seemed like it was headed before Let It Go.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so one, yes, the movie could have been called many other things. And two, Disney is insanely protective of their family-friendly brand.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, they had even gone so far as to edit the cigarettes out of Walt Disney's hand when he was photographed at Disneyland.
Mm.
Because they wanted to keep that image.
Yeah.
So the theory is that they called the movie Frozen to change the Google algorithm.
Oh, yeah.
Now, instead of finding a dark urban legend about their Frozen leader's head...
Oh, my God!
You get a picture of a talking snowman!
Oh, my God! What, was that like the first thing? Like, when you Google Disney Frozen. It was like, Disney's head is cryogenically frozen.
It wouldn't surprise me. I mean, all it took for me to find, like, deaths at Disneyland was, like, one Google search, not even looking for deaths at Disneyland.
I'm pretty sure we typed in deaths at
Disneyland. No, I did that later.
Oh. I definitely
When I first came across it, I did not.
Honestly, I found it harder to find a compiled list than we did when we were children.
I know.
Or youngins, not really children.
It's because everyone's done something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
like,
but now there's too many sites. We found this one site back when we were, like, you know, middle schoolers that was just a wonderful compiled list of, like, the big ones. Mm-hmm. And, like a nice, succinct, you know, outline of all of them. And I can't find that website now. It's probably buried.
So, is the Walt Disney Company just protesting a little too much? Is there something truly hidden in the depths of Disneyland?
Probably, but it might not be Walt Disney's frozen body or head.
Well, and honestly, at the rate that cryonics are developing, we may never know. Because we'll be dead when they bring Walt Disney back. So, Miranda, what are your thoughts?
My thoughts. Well. Now, that was the most compelling argument I had heard. You know, the thing about Google, oddly enough.
That's what I found earlier.
Even if his head isn't frozen and under the park, I could see them doing that just because the rumor had spread
exactly,
so much.
Right?
They'd be like, oh my gosh, we need to put something out there that just stops it because they don't own Google yet. They can't change that. So let's put out a wildly popular movie and publicize this movie more than we publicized anything before. We'll get celebrities.
Yeah.
We'll get the song everywhere. We're going to put subliminal messaging mm-hmm. in this song to look it up on Google so we don't... So you don't see...
Well, and I remember it being like on the top trending, and I don't even follow trending on YouTube, mm-hmm. but the song... Before Frozen even came out.
Yeah.
They had published this song.
I purposely didn't listen to it because I didn't want to hear any of the music from the movie until I watched it. I do that with a lot of things.
I thought it was a trailer and that's why I clicked on it. And they didn't really put a lot of effort into the promotional stuff, but they put out a lot of promotional stuff,
they
you know?
They really did.
But
it was
like
also
the same
confusing.
And it was like the same five like pictures of the characters. One
well,
fun.
And that, honestly, though, it did kind of make it a mystery. It left it a mystery until, you know, we watched the movie for the first time. Mm-hmm. However, like I said earlier, after you watch the movie the first time, the surprise is gone. It just doesn't have the same impact.
Well,
also, there's so much better stuff they could have done with that movie. I feel like, yes, it was a new mm-hmm. animation feat with the snowflakes and all that. And yes, the music is quite good.
They developed an entirely new program for Elsa's hair.
Exactly. However, I feel like they, and I know they apparently tabled a bunch of different like things for it, but I mm-hmm. feel like they pushed it out before it was ready.
Yeah, honestly,
my feeling
about it was that actually they'd sat with the story for too long.
Possibly.
Because my feeling
Because then they
with
lost
it,
all the actual interesting parts mm-hmm. of the story.
Well, and again, if you look at the deleted scenes.
This is our
from
film
it,
review
Yeah,
now.
Sorry. If you look at the deleted scenes, where they were going with the story, and like in particular the relationship between Anna and Elsa mm-hmm. was so cool and also more believable because
yeah, no,
the way they played it
yeah.
in the film was like they just hadn't seen each
I
other at all
the
in
fact,
like 13 years.
I do appreciate the fact that they released the all the demo
yeah.
stuff, all of the music that didn't make it into the show. I mm-hmm. appreciate that they left that in because there was a song that they cut out and I actually mm-hmm. really like it. And it showed a bit of Hans's character.
Oh yeah.
Better. It was called You're You. Mm-hmm. And in the song, he's singing all these nice, sweet things to Anna. Some of them are a little like backhanded compliments,
mm-hmm.
but he's singing these nice, sweet things to her. But she goes, oh, Hans, I, and he sings over her.
Yeah, and see, that would have been so, like, that's the
it's
sort of thing you
song.
Saw
I
in Mother
they,
Gothel,
Exactly.
Too.
I think they should have left that in because it showed that, oh, he's being so sweet. And, oh, there's something just slightly off here. They could have shown him being just a little bit more toxic, mm-hmm. manipulative.
Yeah.
You know, instead of just, I'm charming, I'm perfect.
Exactly.
Because we didn't get to see any of him being evil.
I always talk about, like, one shot.
Mm-hmm.
That really ticks me off in
I
that
know
movie.
Exactly what shot you're going to tell
know.
Me because you bring it up a lot.
I do. But for the listeners,
yep,
it's that moment where Hans is in the boat after uh-huh. Anna's left and like he's just got a nice little soft smile.
No, he's in the water.
Oh, yeah,
she
the water.
Climbed out of the boat and he fell yeah. in the water.
And it's just a nice soft smile. Like there's nothing menacing about it at all. And from a filmmaking standpoint, that was a terrible, terrible move because... You don't have shots like that if you're setting a person up to be a villain later.
Yeah, they could have just left that shot out and it would have
worked better.
It would have still worked better.
But they were trying to make it seem like, oh, he's in love with her. Like, there's that love at first sight thing. Because yeah, they were planning all, that twist.
They had that shot in the chapel. Like, in, not the chapel, but you know what I mean. The coronation ceremony where he's, like, sitting in between two people or whatever. And he's, like, wet. And he gives, like, a cute little...
Yeah, but even that's more acceptable.
That's what I'm saying. No, that would have been fine if you had left out the part where he had fallen in the water and she wasn't looking at him.
Yes.
Well, also, I really like the songs that they cut out of her and Anna actually still having a relationship, but a very tenuous one.
Yeah, it was one where it's a more metaphorical wall. And honestly, that happens in a lot of like sister relationships. And so it would have been very relatable instead of this weird...
I feel like there was a point in time where Ashlyn was trying to be Elsa, and I was definitely Anna, and I just sucker punched the wall, and she was like, get out! And I was like, absolutely not. Sorry,
now I'm crunk. There's a wall there.
But that's enough of Miranda and Ashlyn's film review.
Yeah, basically they should have done all the deleted scenes, and that's it.
However, if you guys think... You know, listening to us talk about films that we think could have been better or that we liked and things that we liked about films. Because Ashlyn has a film degree. I have a degree in acting pretty much, musical theater and all that. Mm-hmm. So I know a bit about the acting side of stuff and intention and all that.
Yes.
If you ever want to hear anything like that, maybe let us know. Maybe we'll do some like bonus episodes or something like every other month or something, or if we ever set up a Patreon, maybe that's something that could be on there. Who knows? Maybe that's coming soon. Maybe it's not. I won't tell because I don't know. But is that all you had, Ashlyn?
Yes, that is. Okay. No, I just let you go on that last cool. because it is all I have.
Okay. So don't forget, you can message us. You can email us at madderthanacaterpillar@gmail.com. You can also join us on Instagram, where we post about our upcoming episodes, and sometimes we post new pictures of Grumpy, our mascot. That's an angry caterpillar. He's very cute. We have some cute little Valentine's Day posts going out, or that will already have been out, but, you know.
Check those out. Give them a little heart.
Check them out.
Because Grumpy has a
little heart. But unfortunately, I don't have Procreate at the moment, so you'll have to wait for new Grumpy pictures until I get that back. I would have loved to have done a cartoon illustration of Walt Disney's head in a, you know, a frozen chamber.
Just Grumpy just hanging onto it.
For this for this next post that would have gone up today. However,
Grumpy with Mickey
I
ears.
Broke the iPad. Oh, Grumpy with Mickey ears.
It would have been so cute, Miranda. You ruined it.
I'm so sad. I really did, though. One crack. It was very upsetting.
If you would like to, you know, heck, if you just want to hear us rant about movies, shows, or Walt Disney's frozen head again for some reason, you can tweet at us or slide into our DMs at MadderThanACat on Twitter.
Also, we have a Facebook page at ITYW Podcast, or I'll tell you what, with a period instead of an ellipsis. Took me a second. I'm looking into posting on there more. The past couple months, really, have been just slow goings for us to get back into the groove.
And it's got nothing really to do with the break and more to do with the fact that life decided to like hit us like a freight train.
Which is strange because I'm not at work as much. I'm at work more than I was during the pandemic. I'll put that there.
Yeah, I'm constantly at work.
Yeah, because you got a new fancy job.
Yeah, that's sometimes 40 minutes away.
Hooray.
Sometimes but only 30.
But yes, besides Facebook, we also have...
We also have a TikTok. You can find us at Madder Than a Caterpillar.
And I will be trying to edit a couple of the videos that we pre-recorded.
So, and maybe we'll record more videos soon, hopefully.
Not today.
Well, yeah, not today. Today's hard.
But. And with that.
That's a lot of buts.
I'll leave you with this. Tell your mom.
Tell your dad.
Tell your friends.
Tell the FBI agent listening to your phone.
And tell Walt Disney's head that's cryonically frozen in your closet. And good night.
To say this to put it at the end, but one of the things about Frozen, so you know how the Snow Queen was written by Hans Christian Andersen.
Yes, I know exactly.
So Hans, Christoph, Anna, Sven.
Anna and Sven. And Elsa's just like,
whatevs.
Whatever. She's here. She's here.
I mean, that's basically the entire movie, though.
Yeah. It's true. It's really true.
They could have replaced Elsa with, like, anyone.
Just like a rock.
Yeah.
With ice powers.
Yikes.